This is CliffCentral.com.
This is the Business Masterclass. I'm Adrian Groenewald. With me, Richard Angus, Alison Nyandu. And we just spoke about leadership, being an example. I mean, our exact theme, not that it really matters, but it was leadership abilities and leading by example. And in the space of the SME, which seems to be quite different from the corporate environment, yet there are, of course, a lot of similarities. But now, in the studio, we've got Rogers Sithole, the CEO, founder of One Connect Group. Rogers, welcome.
Hi, Adrian. How are you doing today?
No, good, man. Good. Okay. So it's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
You know, last week, I'm trying to think who we had on last week. Richard, I put you on the spot every time, and I didn't make a note yet. but anyway, every single week we have an SME in the studio after a business skills conversation, and we spoke about we usually have our USB Ed connection in the studio. Today, we didn't. So, One Connect Group, Rogers Sithole. Then we have, of course, our SME audience, a couple of SMEs sitting out there in the hub. They can ask a question anytime and pitch their business for 30 seconds. We can't wait for the first one. So who's going to have the courage to do it first? So anytime you want to, just approach the mic. Kevin will help you, and then you can connect with the panel. Right, Rogers, what is your business? One Connect Group. Tell us about it.
Adrian, we've started One Connect Group a number of years ago. To be precise, we started in 2005 as an entity that's within the ICT space. We provide enterprise applications. I'm a software engineer by background, so it was quite not too far off for me when I decided to venture into the lonely world of business. But we offer solutions from business process management to analytics to integrating systems. We work with major banks. We work with a telecommunications company. Actually, one of our biggest customers at the moment, it's Telkom. We based here in four ways. We've got offices in Centurion, we've got offices in Durban. We've got offices in Botswana. We just opened an office in Gaborone, Botswana. And we also have presence in Nairobi, Kenya. That's who we are.
All right. Hasn't always been easy, has it?
Not
you
at
say
all.
The lonely world of business.
Not at all. I think when I was listening to the gents that were talking earlier on, it is rough indeed to begin, but it actually gets rougher. The first 18 months is not necessarily all that you need to get over. I think you need to make the first five years, really. So it does become quite challenging. As an employee, I never worry, or I never got to worry about getting paid a salary month end. It had to be automatic. Someone had to worry about it. But being on this side of the chair, unfortunately, you worry about those things. You worry about not only yourself, but the number of families that depend on you.
Your house is on the line. Your car is on the line. Your future is on the line.
Hey, but the price for that salary, hey, we're not going to get to that because it costs something.
But Rogers, just tell us, go back to where you were an employee and what made you jump and go into the entrepreneurial space.
I worked for a number of companies. I worked for massive corporates. The Altron Group, Bytes Technology Group, I was one of the developers or consultants in that space. And then I worked for a multinational called TIBCO. It's an American company. They offer integration solutions, infrastructure solutions in around the world. Mm. I worked for them. I saw a need that within the country, there was really, the personalized service that was being offered to the customers was not really there. TIBCO did have an office, actually, that's a company that I worked for locally. But there was I picked up there was a shortage in terms of personalized service to the customers that, after the initial sales, where you sell the software, etc., there was that point where someone locally was missing that could take care of those customers and look after them. And that's where I saw that opportunity, my partner and I, and we decided to go for it. It was calculated risk, and I think it paid off, I guess.
What was difficult in the first 18 months? The most difficult part in the first 18 months? And then, as you say, don't think the first 18 months are over. You're people raw, you know? You then have other 18-month cycles that are really difficult. Every time you take the business to another level, the risk is the same or bigger.
Yeah. I mean, when we started, it was my partner and I. And then we hired the first employee. And then we hired the second employee. It was four of us. And all of a sudden, you start work cash flow. It's a constant... not issue, but it's a constant worry to every single business, whether it be an SME or be a corporate. I mean, corporate got better balance sheet and better cash balances, but you know, we still have to worry and be cognizant of a cash flow. Mm. And in the first 18 months, that can make or break any business. You know, like I said, the worry of before as an employee, I never worried about getting paid. Now I didn't only worry about getting paid myself, but making sure that the first three employees were paid before I got paid. You know, that was quite hectic. And in the first 18 months, actually, we lost one of contract that we were subcontracting to. That contract was terminated for whatever reasons.
You depended on that.
And we were quite dependent on it. And we went for months without salary, months without income in the business. I remember there was a time where, you know, my personal overdraft had to chuck money from my personal overdraft into the business for her to be able to survive. So it was quite rough.
And at those times, you were thinking back to corporate at times?
I think the last month, yes. before it got better, yes. I thought maybe I should go back. But thank goodness things worked out quicker. We got a new contract that helped us to at least stabilize things and start going again.
All right, so we have an SME owner in the studio who's gone through great pain. You now have how many employees?
The group itself employs 110 people at the moment.
Wow. Okay, so it's grown to small to something quite big, actually. And as you say, it's international. Yeah. And now it's much bigger responsibility. Now, in the studio, we have our panel here. Louis Groenewald's here as well. And Daryl's here with us on the side because he was past the first half hour. And then we have an SME who's going to pitch her business and engage the panel for a few minutes. Whatever question you have, go for it.
Hi, my name is Mpho Roberta Masondo. I run almost 2-year-old business. It's called NCZA Hub. My question to the panel is, how do I ensure that, for example, the NCZA Hub ship doesn't sink during months where there are no projects or business coming through? Because there's a period where you go pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch and nothing comes through.
Okay, but you've got to give us context. What does your business do?
Okay, my business is a multimedia business, but we also do art and tech exhibitions. So fine art, the main forms of art, so music, cultural festivals, and then tech, robotics, gaming, aviation expos. And then multimedia, so the loops during awards, the screens, we provide all of that service. And we started in 2014, August, and at the moment, literally, we are surviving on collaborations because, yeah.
All right. Okay, folks, there's a pitch and the question, how do I ensure my business survives when there's no contracts, no projects? We pitch. Rogers, your head just kind of, your head couldn't help itself. It went up and down there. I mean, that's what we all know, isn't it? It's pitching, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't work. And you worry, and you wonder why you're here, why you decided to follow this dream. Any comments first on the pitch, on the business, and then also on their question?
Yeah, look, I think the pitch could have been much better because I still don't understand what NCZA Hub does. It sounds to me that there's an eventing element to it.
There is.
Service provider for events.
That as well as so multimedia in terms of corporate social media per project. Then the tech side, we do technology exhibitions, so gaming exhibitions, robotics exhibitions, and then the other side where we do cultural festivals. So the latest festival that we did was the Soweto Street Culture Art Festival on Vilakazi Street.
Okay.
And then we also have upcoming festivals like the one at Museum Africa, That's what.
So what is the marketing side now? That is that the marketing side.
The marketing side falls under the technology side, where per project we do the digital marketing side per project that we work on. But on the event side, we also do the full-on staging, lighting, sound for each project that we work on.
Okay, all right. Any comments on that pitching? Daryl, you guys pitch all the time to corporates. You didn't hear a question. But it's about pitching and pitching and pitching, and you don't have business. How do you survive, keep your business going? Any comment on that? And then, Rogers, you also jump in.
I think my two cents is very much you have to persevere. That's really where it comes. You need to have 1,000, 10,000 no's before you get that one yes. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to stay.
In fact, though, I do think she's on the right track with collaboration, because that's where a lot of opportunities come. I mean, the future is such that we talk about competition, not competition, and collaboration is key.
You must really want it, I guess, Rogers. I mean, if you don't want it, at the sign of first resistance and opposition, and the first 100 no's, these guys are robots. You know, they have 1,000 no's every day, and they're just there the next morning selling their, I don't know, cell phone chargers or whatever it is. So your comment to her, inspire her. Come on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think from experience, what we had to go through, we had to collaborate. We had to subcontract. There were times where our own contracts couldn't come through. We pitched submissions after submissions. But if you've got, I think one thing you need to be clear on, Mpo, that I can emphasize for you, is that you need to be quite comfortable and content with the solution you guys offer. You need to have a self-belief here in your gut that you absolutely sure that what you have is a absolutely good service, and you can offer that, and then you can then be able not only pitch direct contracts yourself, you can help others that were privileged to get contracts but aren't able to deliver on those contracts, or because of, I mean, I've come across guys that through bad experience they didn't do well on contracts, but they had the contracts, and then we were able to subcontract and be able to help them out. And guess what happens after that? You know, the same old thing that is needed, experience. Where have you done this? Now you'll be able to start to show that. But you cannot just throw towels and think, I want my own direct contracts. Subcontracting is not a bad thing. Collaboration is not a bad thing. But you need to be confident with the service that you offer, because that may have a long-lasting damage on you as well.
Yeah, people sense if you don't have that deep confidence. Any other final comments to her? Richard, you want to add?
Yeah, I think just, you know, the reality is pitching for pitching's sake is also quite demoralizing. You've got to get a little bit more scientific around how you're doing your pitch, and you know, I always go, well, pitch without feedback is pointless. So I always say, you know, if you pitch and the answer is no, swallow your pride, go and talk to the person and say, look, for my growth and for the growth of my company, could I ask you to please share with me why you made your decision to go with somebody else? You know, and you just elicit some feedback. And particularly if you do that very sincerely with an intent to learn, you will be amazed at the information that people will give you. And they'll tell you exactly why it didn't work. And you can then fine-tune your pitch, because, you know, a reality, you do the same thing the same way and expect a different result, that's insanity.
All right.
As defined.
Very good advice there for you, Mpo. Thank you so much. And the next person can step up if they want to pitch their business and engage the panel. Rogers, back to you. Early days, you had your challenges, and then you took the business to another level. Did you not merge somewhere, or you brought in other partners? How did you take the business to another level?
Through mergers with others. I think at the moment, the business, we've got two strategies from a growth point of view as a business. We're quite passionate around organic growth. That is growth within the business itself in terms of new contracts and how we're developing those contracts. But also there's an acquisitive aspect to the growth strategy as far as the business is concerned. So that is, would look at others that are doing similar business to ours that we are unable perhaps to deliver on those, or we do not have the necessary capacity. And then we get into acquisition conversation with those. Some of those things I cannot divulge, unfortunately, at the moment. But it is a strategy that has helped us to grow. There's a number of things that are in the pipeline. to be happening that is really going to be transformative as far as our business is concerned.
So you're in a good space at the moment.
Yeah.
But good space brings its own challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not getting here, acquisitions have got critical issues that we have is integration. Here I am. I mean, the gents were speaking about how it is to be an SME, how you as an individual are the business. I know how that is. I mean, I had people that joined the business because they're coming to work for Rogers. You know, now all of a sudden, this thing is growing, is now growing. You're now coming in, you're joining with someone else that joined a business because of Adrian. Now, guess what? It's Rogers and Adrian now. What's the culture that dominates? You know, what are the processes that are going to be adopted? It introduces a different dimension.
A whole different dimension. Well. Yeah. So we're going to ask you what lessons you've learned as an SME owner, but also touch on the leadership aspect, your views on leadership and how different it is being four people, two, four, and being 110. You know, what you've learned in the leadership space, because that was the first half hour conversation. We do have an SME who's going to pitch their business and engage the panel. Go for it.
Good afternoon. Oscar Olifant is my name. I partner in a company called Squared Circle Communications. We do a few things, but two of the major activities that we have as a business is the conceptualization and development of TV concepts. We develop the concepts. We then look for the right partnership fit to take that to screen. So we would talk to corporates. We would talk to celebrities. We would talk to production companies and bring the product to screen. One of our biggest activities at the moment is what we call utility advertising. We look for gaps in the market and we tailor make and design advertising platforms. We look for advertising opportunities that are mass based. We would, for example, look at public ablutions and look at partnering with corporates to leverage off the public ablutions and create advertising platforms from there. We have found that partnerships where we are at our we're just a 4 month old company, so where we are in our development, partnerships and corporations are vital, collaborations are vital. So we use what's in the market, we use the experience of other companies, and we network and leverage off that. We know that 95% of the products and services that we have are uniquely available to us because they were conceptualized by us, and we could only have done that successfully. Now we're pitching to big guys. Now we throw, you know, the towel. We never throw in the towel. We pitch to you know, the Alan Hirsch's of this world, and we talk to the guys that we believe can find leverage and advantages.
All right, and where do people get hold of you?
Available on our website, www.squaredcirclecoms.co.za.
Okay. Question for the panel, comment?
A comment just on in terms of the earlier discussion of SMEs and SME owners versus leadership. I think in my mind you can't separate the two. Whether you run a two-man show or you run a company that employs 110 people, there's leadership. There's leadership in terms of vision. There's leadership in terms of management. There's leadership in terms of where the company has to go. Everyone wants to grow to 110 people in a short space of time, so there has to be leadership, both in terms of the vision and actually managing the company as well. My question is, we believe that we've got unique concepts. Maybe not too unique, but we believe they are unique. How do I protect my intellectual property? How do I protect what I believe is uniquely mine when I go and pitch? Because I've got horror stories of people that have listened to the pitch, have not been interested. And the next day, I see my concept on ETV. What do I do?
Okay.
How do I protect myself?
I think
myself?
We need another show just on that topic.
Now that's in a world today that's so interconnected and so open and so, yeah, gosh, that's a very good question. Maybe two or three nuggets, guys, to help him. Obviously, you're protected legally, but I see some hands here. Go for it, Richard. Go, and then we'll go to Darryl.
Look, I think you've got to be careful how you pitch and how much you share. Don't give out the recipe for the secret sauce on the first pitch. Make sure that people understand the difference between your, you know, let's call it the composition of the secret sauce and the value proposition that you're defining. So sell the value proposition, don't sell the recipe. Always make sure that you cover yourself with an NDA and a non-compete document. Whenever you go into a pitch where there's something like that could possibly be utilized. Make sure you cover yourself. People will think twice, and if people aren't prepared to sign the NDA, you should be thinking who you're pitching to and why are you pitching the way you are. What are they? And by the way, it is good corporate behavior to get people to pitch, to give you ideas, to tell them to go away so you can do it yourself. That corporates do that. That's what they do.
So you have to be wise. Okay.
Yeah, be wise to that.
All right.
It's Darryl? A way of doing business.
I think you have to accept that it does happen. People make it a business that they allow them to come in. You believe you can do it better than they can, but I agree. You don't give out all the sauce ingredients. Rather, just let them taste the sauce.
I think the other most important thing is always to do the diligence in terms of what are the capabilities that you're looking for from the other party. And then also match those with where you think you can deliver without necessarily, you know, having to engage with those folks if there's suspicion, of course, in terms of what might happen. But the media space is the creative space is very fluid in terms of how ideas, you know, can cascade without, you know, you really thinking you've got your handle around what you thought was your IP.
Okay, not an easy one. Roger, just a quick final comment on that. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was spot on. You need to make sure that there is an NDA in place. If you can do that, it's good practice for you to do that. We come across that a lot as well, because we have a lot of IP within the business that we have to go pitch, and we need to expose that IP, and we make sure that we're protected by some sort of an NDA. If it's a product or it's a solution or it's a service that you think is so unique that you can approach a CIPC to patent it, if it's something that is patentable, but it needs to be a product of a sort. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll not be able to get very much away with it.
Yeah, you can't patent bottled water or something like that. You're
exactly.
And part of the problem is that by trying to identify the patent, you start giving away the secret source anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and let me just say this. All these things are great advice, everyone, but we do live in a world where the small man does have more power. We've seen it at Vodacom. We've seen it Gareth Cliff taking on, well, he's not that small, I guess, but he's taking on the big corporate Mnet. You know, we do see, you know, you've got people who've got a much larger Twitter following than the corporate that may be screwing them. So I think these days there's a bit more of a balance. Social media brings that in. So one must, you can leverage all those things. Keep good records of all your communication between these people. Emails, everything. Just keep it. Because in the end, we know our courts are sound. We know if you have to go the Vodacom route, you can become very wealthy. So anyway, don't have the full answers here, but thank you so much. We've got 5 minutes left, guys. Maybe there's another pitch, but I want to hear lessons you've learned as from a leadership point of view, but also just running a small business.
Leadership is critical. I mean, for me, like I said before, and the Jen said it in the previous slot, is that we say people do business with people they like. As an SME, people will work for you because they really like you first, and two, you do pay their salaries. But you know, if you as you grow get rid of that, you are taking away a massive competitive advantage that you have as an SME. I've made it a point that every morning I treat every people equally. I walk to the desk, say hello, and I still do that even now. And they think I'm crazy, but it creates an aura in the office where, you know, they like being there. We're a family. I mean, you spend most of your time at work. You know, if I can do something to make it a better place for people to be at, and that way you get better productivity. People will produce better. It's not about you saying, I'm going to time you. You need to be here from 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock. You think they're going to produce? No, it's about them having that sense of ownership. And that's quite critical. We forget that you own the business. Not everybody that works for you own the business. So they do not have the same drive, the same passion that you have. How do you get them to feel like that? As a leader, it's your responsibility to make sure that they feel like that. They feel like they own this thing. How do they own it? Not only through a salary. It's ethical for them to work because, yes, they do get paid a salary. So ethics say, please at least put in as much as you're getting paid. But not necessarily that ethics drive everything. So you want to make the people that work for you feel like they own it. They know that when this thing grows, they have they're participating commercially and otherwise. It's not only about money. It's about being recognized in the business. How are you recognizing your people in the business? How are you complimenting them when they do well? How are you not only, you know, saying this is wrong when it's wrong, but then give them direction as to what is right? and do not we tend to make the mistakes of not allowing people to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And the moment you do that, you take away creativity, you take away innovation, you take away the ability for people to want to come up with new ideas. Mm. If I wanted to hire everybody that's like Rogers, that's redundant. I don't need them. Mm. I might as well do it myself. I need individuals. I need people that come up with different ways of thinking, different ideas, and they need to be allowed to nourish within your business.
Okay, you see lots of lessons just overflowing, and we could probably spend more time. There's a pitch. Let's quickly grab that pitch and then wrap it up.
Hello, my name is Desmond. I'm from Aluta. We are a sandglass brand, proudly based in Joburg. We sell very unique sandglass pieces, quality of the highest standard, as well as cost competitiveness in that it's very affordable. We have a few collaborations going on right now. We are at the Box Shop on Vilakazi. We have a partnership with Matt and Standing on Maboneng, so our units are available there. We do a lot of markets as well, the social market, market at the shed, etc., etc. My question or my comment is, I suppose, putting the brand out there. That is the main driver. That is the main objective that we are about at the minute. Just putting the brand out there, because I do believe we have something unique on the market, as well as the brand itself. Aluta Continua, celebrating Africanism, celebrating, you know, Pan-Africanism, celebrating black consciousness, black excellence. That narrative is what we're about, and that's what we try to promote. So my question or my comment really would be about really just putting the brand out there, but still maintain, you know, we don't want to be so-called, you know, commercial. We want to stick to authenticity, etc.
All right, we've run out of time, but any advice for him from based on what he said? Anyone?
When it comes to brand, I always say you are the biggest brand. How you organize yourself, how you conduct yourself, that's a brand. Your business is a brand as well. But you do not want to make, you want to make sure that you do not mess up this one brand. Rogers Cetol is a brand. I mean, from a products like that are consumer based, not necessarily enterprise based. A lot of platforms today that are available from a social media point of view. He can speak to the other gentleman there that has got a marketing business. You know, they could help each other out from a, you know, how do you get that and market out, those products that he has out.
In fact, he needs to talk to Daryl, because Daryl has how many? A million students?
Just under a million
students. But, you know, it's an interesting
comment, yeah.
It's an interesting concept. I mean, I hear the Ekasi element to this. Is that right?
I'd say more it's a Pan-Africanism concept.
It's a Pan-African concept.
Yeah.
Okay. But obviously, I think Daryl would be best placed to... how would the youth, you know, align with what he's selling?
Well, I think it's important to understand that it takes more than just once-off engagement with the youth in order for them to, you know, attach onto a brand. I mean, big brands spend a lot of money for a long period of time to gain that trust and that build. But if you are looking to do it long-term and engage into the youth, it's definitely a platform we can work together on.
All right, thank you. For Periscope guys, they don't hear that specific pitch there, which is a little bit difficult. But thank you so much, everyone. It's been great having you here. Rogers Cetol, our special guest. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, I've known you over the years. You're growing as a leader. I can see you've got a leadership head on you, not just a business one. And the responsibility is getting bigger and bigger. So thank you for sharing some of those nuggets with us. Of course, Alice Mnyandu, usual panel member. Great asset. And then we have Daryl here from Students Brands. Daryl, thank you. It's been good having you around, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
And we look forward to engaging you more. And, of course, Richard Angus from the finance team.
Thanks, Andre.
Ladies and gentlemen, next up, a man who's against the establishment. Okay, a man who sees the world differently in some respects, and maybe we need to listen to these kind of people much more. It's our transformation platform. It's the future. Dion Janssen van Rensburg is a Bitcoin expert, but he's also someone who has some strong views on where the world is going, and certainly financial institutions and many other places. So we look forward to hearing his future expectations, and he speaks to a lot of people about his views and insights. So stay tuned for Leaders. We must take on the future and see it for what it is. Stay with us.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from,
but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
This is CliffCentral.com.